Middle East, weather, and more in the markets on Monday. This is the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Sean Hackett with Hackett Financial Advisors joins us. And Sean, looking at crude oil first, I know that's been a big focus of the market here to start the week after the U.S. attacks on Iranian nuclear facilities over the weekend. Iran responding with missile attacks on U.S. bases in the Middle East as well. And a lot of folks watching crude oil very closely here today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been through these Middle East instability waves before. Always hard to know what actually is happening, what's really going on behind the scenes. We're always reacting to stories. The markets always seem to be getting ahead of those stories. You know, today's action, you know, Krell being flattened down almost makes me feel like, you know, maybe we overtraded it last week, or maybe there's news to come in the next couple of days that might show some de-escalation, even though on the surface it looks like things are not going to de-escalate. It's really hard to know, and unless you really are the ones involved in the process, you know, we're at best we're here trying to guess on how many shades of gray there really are. So,
over in the grain markets, lower on Monday, really across the board, led by the wheat trade. Is this a case of just nothing bullish in terms of weather? I mean, what are you tracking on the grain side here today, Sean?
I mean, I think that some people got excited last week on wheat, you know, on geopolitics, because wheat is your poster child for geopolitical unrest. Obviously, you know, some traders might have rethinking that idea that maybe, you know, wheat isn't directly involved with this Strait of Hormuz kind of situation, although I think it is. But really, at this time of the year, Jesse, it's really about July weather. We've had a very good June. It hasn't been too hot for the most part. We've had some very good rains in most areas, at least enough rain to keep things going. So there's just right now the market is saying, you know, good crop, everything looks great. The only way we're going to change our mind on that is if we see some weather models at the end of the month tell us July could be different, and we're not seeing that yet. I think we will start to see that, but as of today, the weather into the end of the month looks good. Why should we worry about the crops? And I think it's a correct assessment. I mean, the weather is good until it's not. We think we're going to get a switch to a warmer, drier July, something we really haven't seen really since 2012. But we have to get that to the, we have to get to that point first. In the meantime, unless there's outside forces impacting the market, sellers are going to be selling based upon good weather, especially heading into June 30th. In those two important reports on acres and corley grain stocks.
Well, and thinking about those end of the month reports coming up here, next Monday, I think that is going to be one that traders obviously going to be watching very closely. It's always such a big report. It's known for its volatility. And with everything else going on in the markets and around the world, maybe an extra degree of volatility that folks need to gear up for heading into next week's reports.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have seen some very big moves, either up or down, on this report pretty consistently. It seems that the consensus going into the report seems to always be way off. What I always tell people is we can't predict with clarity what the USDA reports are ever going to say. It's very difficult. It's even harder to determine what the market's going to do on the day of the report. What I am very comfortable in saying, whatever the report says, we will trade it very quickly. And then it still comes back to July weather. So the way I approach it, Jesse, is let's just say the number comes out and it's viewed bearishly for corn, and corn gets hit on the day of the report, but we think that the weather is going to get more favorable or less favorable, and we think we could have some weather concern. There might be an opportunity, for example, for end users to take advantage of that volatility on the day of the report. Then we get some cash corn bought. That's the way we try to utilize volatility on report day, especially if we think July weather is going to be less favorable.
And I know something, too, I've been tracking. When you look at this corn market in particular, it's really just kind of struggled. And now on the cash side, start to see even some three handles show up in the I states, Iowa, Illinois, et cetera. And I think that just is another reflection of this corn market continuing to struggle mightily, I would say, here through the summer months.
Yeah, we really feel that there was a lot of preemptive buying prior to the trade war, the tariff war that came from Trump, meaning there was a lot of entities that bought way more corn than they really needed, which caused the big rally, by the way, earlier in the year, and caused that 520 futures July, give or take, you know, futures price, and a really, really strong cash price. And now they just don't need the old crop corn. I mean, they already bought it. They're already covered for an extended period of time. And I think you're seeing that with the widening spreads in the corn market. And I think you're seeing that with the widening basis in the corn market. We just don't have any need for the old crop corn that's left. And so we're struggling for those that still need to sell for, you know, who's willing to step in and buy it. And they're asking or requiring a lower price to buy that or take that old crop corn off the market. That's why what I think is happening and why the structure of the old crop market has changed so dramatically here over the last couple of months.
Over in that livestock complex, we've been kind of bouncing around through cattle futures on Monday's trade. I know last week we had the cattle on feed report that was, I'd say, neutral to friendly in the market, yet cash trade was lower. And I think that's something that a lot of folks in the cattle complex are paying attention to this week in terms of whether or not we see another week of lower cash trade, Sean.
Yeah, I think we're running out of gas. I think we've had this big push on, you know, the typical grilling season demand, the idea the herd rebuilding is tightening these animals. We had some very high cash trades a few weeks ago. And all our historical work on years that herd rebuilding starts says that we typically have our final push into the third quarter of the year of herd rebuilding, and then we kind of price it all in. And then from that point forward, we priced in the bigger herd that's to come over the next couple of years. And I kind of feel like we might, that 220-ish on the live cattle on August, and that 320-ish on the feeder cattle on August, you know, that might have been the final, you know, price point that priced it all in and overpriced the market, where we simply can't trade a fundamental more bullish than that. I kind of feel like livestock producers, the cattle ranchers, really, really need to sharpen the pencils and figure out a way to lock in this price level for a longer period of time as they possibly can. This might be as good as it gets.
Any notes in the dairy complex as we close out today, Sean? Anything you're watching there this week?
I mean, what we're really focused on is the idea that we've had this bounce in production post avian flu from last year. That was to be expected. We're getting past some seasonally stronger demand. We're getting some weakness in the nearby market. But we really feel when you look at global production and U.S. production after this bounce from avian flu, we really don't see any appetite that we're going to see any significant increase in production that's going to cause a surplus. And we do see the early signs that Asia and especially China demand is coming back. We think that this correction is almost over with, that we can see better prices into the end of the year. We think we're stuck in an 18 to 20 class 3 hundredweight price range. Our recommendation to producers is, you know, look to get yourself covered and priced when we get to the upper end of that range. Physical buyers need to be doing the same thing or in the lower end of that range like we are now. And I think that's the pricing pattern, at least going into the end of the year.
Of course, we always remember that risk of trading futures and options can be substantial. Sean, if folks want to reach out for a conversation, how can they reach you there at Hackett Financial Advisors?
Website is Hackett, H-A-C-K-E-T-T, advisors.com. We have a Twitter page, at Ferdix11. Those are the two best places to find out what we're thinking and to give us a buzz.
Sean Hackett, Hackett Financial Advisors, thanks for joining us for the market wrap-up here today. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Jesse.
Once again, Sean Hackett with Hackett Financial Advisors. That's our Monday, June 23rd market wrap-up on the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.